Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's our 842nd day together in the Word of God, and we're here in Job chapter 40. And we're hearing God speak to Job, and now Job's going to have an opportunity to speak back and answer, but then God is going to continue to answer Job. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so great. You are beyond our ability to comprehend or even guess at how awesome and majestic and wise and powerful you are. Thank you for your word. Please speak to us through Job chapter 40 today. Please show us more of Christ, our Savior, and help us to walk in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Job chapter 40. And the Lord said to Job, "Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer, twice, but I will proceed no further." Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself with majesty and dignity. Clothe yourself with glory and splendor. Pour out the overflowings of your anger, and look on everyone who is proud and abase him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them all in the dust together. Bind their faces in the world below. Then will I also acknowledge to you that your own right hand can save you. Behold, Behemoth, which I made as I made you. He eats grass like an ox. Behold, his strength is in his loins, and his power in the muscles of his belly. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze, like his limbs like bars of iron. He is the first of the works of God. Let him who made him bring near his sword. For the mountains yield food for him, where all the wild beasts play. Under the lotus plants he lies, in the shelter of the reeds and in the marsh. For his shade the lotus trees cover him, the willows of the brook surround him. Behold, if the river is turbulent, he is not frightened. He is confident, though Jordan rushes against his mouth. Can one take him by his eyes, or pierce his nose with a snare?" Job chapter 40. So God has been demonstrating to Job how much he, as the Lord, is in charge of. All of the great movements of creation, of the stars and of the earth and of the storms and the lightning, but also the care of every creature of creation. So how much God knows and how much God controls. And then he turns it to Job and he says, "Job, you're a fault finder. You found fault with my providence. So, Mr. Fault Finder, contend with me. You want to argue with me? Answer. What do you say to all these things that I've just told you that I'm in charge of, that I watch over, that I keep, that I care for every day, every moment? What do you say in answer to it?" And Job's answer is, frankly, the only answer he can give, which is, nothing. Nothing. There is nothing that we can begin to answer against God, because we don't even have the beginnings of the ability to engage in a debate with him, because he's so far beyond us in wisdom and knowledge and understanding and power and might and majesty. "I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I've spoken once. I will not answer twice. I will proceed no further." Now, Job's not quite done yet. But these attributes of God, his wisdom, his power, his self-sufficiency, his creativity, his providence, his sovereign care, they are so far above and beyond us that although in some ways we're made in the image of God, and in some ways we have limited wisdom, we have limited knowledge, we have limited sovereignty, we can't even begin to touch who God is in and of himself. And so we're humbled, we should be humbled, and we should be stunned into silence and awesome wonder at who God is. Now, to further this for Job and for us, God brings out some other things. He challenges Job. He says, dress for action like a man. I will question you. You make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be right? Have you an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like his? You see, if Job wants to put God in the wrong, then that means Job wants to be the judge of the universe. You see, God is the judge of the universe. He's the sovereign ruler over all creation. He's the keeper, the upholder, the disposer of all creation and all creatures and all people. And if Job wants to find fault with him, if Job wants to say you're in the wrong, if Job wants to condemn him, then Job is putting himself in a seat above the God of the universe, and he's wanting to be the judge, the ruler. Anybody who wants to judge God is putting themselves in that position. Anyone who wants to question God is putting themselves in that position. And so God invites him and says, you want that position? I'm going to invite you. Come on. Adorn yourself with majesty and dignity. Clothe yourself with glory and splendor. Pour out the overflowings of your anger and look on everyone who is proud and abase him. Look on everyone who's proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked where they stand. Here we have the basic qualifications for you to take the office that you say that you should have by implication, because you've condemned me in how I exercise the power and the right and the authority of this office of being the God and the supreme judge of the universe. You say you want this office, you need to have majesty, dignity, glory, and splendor. Start with that. Of course, Job doesn't have any of those things. He's in the dust with open sores that he's scraping with pottery. He has nothing. And he says, okay, you need to be able to take all the proud people in the world, all the wicked people in the world, you need to bring them low and tread them down right now. Job can't do any of that. You see, God alone is qualified to be God. And we can't question him because we don't have the qualifications to take his place. We cannot take his place. And so God then turns his attention to one of the strong and powerful beasts of creation, Behemoth. We don't know what Behemoth is, what it represents. Some people have suggested that Behemoth represents a hippopotamus. Maybe. Except verse 17 says, he makes his tail stiff like a cedar. Now, either that's a bad translation of the Hebrew, or it doesn't apply at all to hippopotami, because hippopotamuses have like little flimsy tails, not stiff like a cedar. There were animals in the world who fit this description, who are tall and strong and grass-eating and live at the edge of the water, and who can make their tail stiff like a cedar because they can actually lift themselves up on their back legs and use their tail as a third leg so they could reach up high and reach high foliage in the trees. And that is the plant-eating dinosaurs. So I think my own opinion is this: that's probably what this is describing. Does that mean that when Job is talking to God, there are dinosaurs around? No, I don't think that there were dinosaurs around. But I think perhaps Job had heard tales of dinosaurs and knew about dinosaurs. You know, there are these massive bones that had been found since old times. And I think maybe Job had heard stories. Because I think it's the only creature that seems to fit the description. Now, how does that work with the age of the earth and science? Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not That's not my main point. The main point is it does seem to be that that's what he's describing. Whatever he's describing a very strong and very powerful animal. The other thing that lends it to be grass-eating dinosaurs is that this is the first of the works of God. And so an ancient, old animal, right? And so something that from Job's day even would have been long, long ago in the past. And it's also the kind of animal that you couldn't possibly even defeat if you had a sword. Now, hippopotamuses are pretty awesome and pretty terrifying, and they actually kill lots of people every year. So even if you had a sword against a hippopotamus, you'd probably be in pretty severe trouble. But I just think this is something bigger even than a hippo. But we don't know. Can you take him by his eyes? Can you pierce his nose with a snare? No. Even a hippopotamus, you can't do that. There's nobody who can go up to a hippopotamus and say, with the kinds of weapons and technology that Job had available in his day, let me capture you, let me tame you, let me do my will with you. And what does that mean? Well, it means that God easily created and easily commands an animal that is beyond the strength of man. And so again, it's showing us how God alone has the qualifications to be the God and judge of the universe. This is not a job that people are qualified for. It's kind of like people raging at God for being unfair is kind of like a three-year-old throwing a temper tantrum. Maybe the trip to grandma's house is taking too long, and so they're throwing a temper tantrum over their dad's driving because it's taking too long to get to grandma's house. And dad would say, okay, do you want the keys? Do you want to drive? No, obviously that's not possible. And it's even more ridiculous than that for us to think that we could step into God's shoes. But that's what we are wanting to do when we question God's providence. When we rage against the sovereign rule of God, we are telling God that we think we would do a better job at being God than he is doing. And at a fundamental level, we just need to hear it plain and clear. No, we wouldn't. No, we couldn't. At all. So the only option left is trust him, because he's the only one qualified and he knows what he's doing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being our God and Father, for being faithful, mighty, wise, holy, beyond our understanding in power and glory. Help us to trust you, for you alone are trustworthy. Help us to cast our weight of care and our trust and our reliance completely on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for Job 40 tomorrow. Back to the Gospel of John, picking up with John 7. Hope you can join me for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.